Next we have His Grace Mukunda Datta Prabhu. Mukunda Datta Prabhu is an initiated disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He joined ISKCON 40 plus years ago, deeply impressed by the comprehensive, authentic and nectarine presentation of the science of Krishna Bhakti, love of Godhead. As clearly mentioned in many of Srila Prabhupada books, he is noted for his kirtans, devotional singings. He has received formal training in North Indian classical music, sings and plays instruments in traditional Bengali style of kirtan, and has made several recordings of the Gaudiya Vaishnava traditions, Sanskrit and other hymns. Currently he serves as Sanskrit English translator and editor for Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, BBT. He is also scholar of Sanskrit, Hindi and many other Indian languages. He has served as a member of Shastric Advisory Council to ISKCON GBC. He has travelled widely lecturing for many years on Vedic literature such as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. For His Grace Mukunda Datta Prabhu, TKG Maharaj was more than a Shiksha Guru. He was a very special mentor, his philosopher, friend and guide. We are very eager to hear from you. Just time back, His Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj conveyed him that he is going to be the main speaker of today's program.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. First of all, thank you very much for giving me the bittersweet opportunity to say a few words in glorification of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. I want to thank Madan Mohan Mohini for inviting me to this program and for organizing this program, to Radhe Shyam Prabhu for hosting the program, to my esteemed godbrothers Indradyumna Swami and Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj as well. I pray for their blessings and we'll try to say a few words that hopefully can be of some inspiration. It's not a very difficult thing to glorify Tamal Krishna Maharaj because he was really so glorious. And it's a great pleasure to do so, but it's always a little painful also on this day. It's hard to believe that it's been 17 years already. To try to summarize everything that Tamal Krishna Goswami did, not only for me personally, but for the ISKCON society generally and for the whole world, it's very difficult to say just a few things in a few words for 15 or 20 minutes. But as Maharaj pointed out, I would say also, I would very much endorse the idea that Tamal Krishna Goswami was the quintessential Prabhupada man. I mentioned this in Vrindavan, that one of my godbrothers, Ritadvaja Swami, he was assisting Tamal Krishna Maharaj at a time that Maharaj was recuperating from a surgery in the United States. And he said one of the things that impressed him was that every day the phone was ringing off the hook from people calling all over the world seeking the advice of Tamal Krishna Goswami about things that only he would know because he was so thoroughly trained personally, so closely by Srila Prabhupada. What would Prabhupada do in such and such a circumstance? What was Prabhupada's policy on this or that issue? How would Prabhupada deal with this kind of individual, etc.? So Tamal Krishna Maharaj knew these things. He was the repository, practically speaking, for all of us, of all things Prabhupada. And he was, therefore, I felt when he left this world, it was like half the movement disappeared with him, because in a very practical sense, in a real sense, substantial sense, ISKCON only really became an international institution once he joined and began to organize things. First of all, he organized the preaching in the West Coast. So those of us who are from the West Coast of the United States, like myself, we're definitely indebted to him. But Srila Prabhupada sent him to Europe as well. He played maybe a minor role, not a minor role, but a less recognized role in the expansion of European preaching. He was sent to India later on when Prabhupada wanted to pioneer his efforts in India and establish ISKCON there. He became the first GBC, the first sannyasi there in India, and without him, we've heard already, we've seen the drama. Mayapur, if anyone has been to Mayapur, you're indebted to him for that. Anyone who has been to Juhu, Mumbai, you're indebted to him for that. In Kolkata as well. All these temples that Prabhupada wanted to establish, he was involved. Practically speaking, anything that Prabhupada did, it had his touch. And any of the lasting institutions within ISKCON, they're somehow usually connected with him. He was such an influential person. And he was so dear to Srila Prabhupada because he was so surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. He would do anything for Srila Prabhupada. And he did do anything for Srila Prabhupada, even things that he did not want to do. And it was nearly impossible to get Tamal Krishna Goswami to do things that he didn't want to do. And it was also nearly impossible to get Tamal Krishna Goswami to not do the things that he wanted to do. But he was surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, and whatever Srila Prabhupada asked him to do, he did it. And he not only did it well, he did it in an outstanding way, just like Mayapur, case in point. I remember I was in his very close association at the time that he was in Southern Methodist University in the United States. And he was an atypical student. He was a middle-aged student, not a traditional student. And he had maintained in all of his studies a 4.0 grade point average. That means he had a perfect record, never had less than an A. He wasn't satisfied with that. It wasn't enough for him. He had this characteristic that he not only wanted to do things for Srila Prabhupada, but he wanted to do things in an outstanding way for Srila Prabhupada. And so many things he did for Srila Prabhupada that when everything else failed, Srila Prabhupada knew that he could always call on Tamal Krishna Goswami and it would be done. And it was done. So I was appreciating this lecture that we saw this morning, earlier, the gods, demigods, and incarnations. It's, of course, it's a wonderful, classic Tamal Krishna Goswami, but it's almost, I want to say, it's a shame that he's known only for that particular lecture, because practically speaking, every time he spoke, it was that powerful. And in that lecture, we saw how he dealt with this poor fellow who was a follower of Sai Baba. He was able to do that with anyone. No one could stand in his presence when it was a question of one-on-one preaching. No one could stand. Everyone had to surrender to him. And he was very powerful in that way. I used to look at him in awe sometimes and just marvel over the determination that he had, the drive that he had, the commitment to Srila Prabhupada, and the very strong desire to do everything that Srila Prabhupada wanted to do without exception. And I was astonished. And I used to think, like Arjuna thought in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Akhyahikome Pavanukrurubam. Who are you? Who is this personality that he came out of Manhattan, New York, and he assisted Srila Prabhupada in such amazing ways, and he was able to go to places like China and begin Krishna consciousness there as well. In his later years, he also became so very deep in sadhana bhakti, and including Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, as Maharaj has already mentioned. And he was such a multifaceted personality that it's my fear is that unless we have programs like this regularly, people will lose sight of just what a wonderful personality he was, and they will emphasize only one aspect of his personality. But he was multifaceted like a jewel. We hear in our shastras that this is the characteristic of the pure devotees. They are harder than a thunderbolt when need be, and no one could stand if he was angry. I saw in some cases full-grown men, god brothers, who came out of his room in tears because he was so strong with them. I saw this. But I also saw that when he was so kind to a person, the person would also be in tears of gratitude and appreciation and shock that he could be so kind to them as he was. He was very kind to me. So he had all these wonderful characteristics like a multifaceted gem. And with each year that passes, we feel his absence more and more, it seems. But it was a great solace to hear from Madan Mohan Mohini this morning. And very soothing to the heart to hear her very deep realizations about the fact that if we take shelter of his lotus feet, he remains with us always and will guide us always, because he's always sitting at the right-hand side of Srila Prabhupada and always continuing to render his service to Srila Prabhupada, not only here but in whatever world he's gone on to further Srila Prabhupada's mission in those places. I remember the first time I saw him was maybe in 1976 in Los Angeles. I thought of this because they're offering bhoga now. So I was trying to join ISKCON at that time, and it was controversial because I was only 15. And some of the devotees were not in favor of me joining the temple because it was not the right thing to do. It was not legal age to leave home. Other devotees, they were very eager. So it was some controversy. So they decided, come the next day and you can meet with Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Rameshwar Maharaj, who was in charge of the Los Angeles temple at that time. So when I came there, Tamal Krishna Goswami, I knocked at the door exactly at the time, not one minute sooner or 1 minute later than he appointed, because he was like this. He was very particular about things like, I didn't even know it at the time, but somehow or other I was also like that. If he walked into a room, he was so sensitive that he could tell you whether it was 78 degrees or 80 degrees. One time, one devotee, he was complaining about some noise in his room, and he told this devotee, find out what's making that noise. The devotee couldn't hear anything at all. But Tamal Krishna Goswami is repeatedly hammering on him, find out what that noise is. And he's crawling around the floor on all fours. Finally, he got into one far corner of the room and he found that there was some small insect rubbing his hind legs together. This noise was disturbing Tamal Krishna Goswami. That's how particular he was. So anyway, I came at the appointed time. And the person opened the door only slightly. I could see inside what was happening. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was sitting behind a low table on a chair, and there was a big plate of Mahaprasadam in front of him. And he told me, oh, he said, well, thank you for coming again. The problem is that now it's time for prasadam, and we cannot keep prasadam waiting because prasadam is the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna himself. So please come tomorrow at the same time, and we can talk then. Whether he was testing me or whether he was teaching me the depth of prasadam, I don't know to this day. But I came back. When I came back, he was arguing back and forth with Rameshwar. Rameshwar Maharaj is saying, no, he's a devotee. He's chanting 16 rounds. He wants to join. He wants to give his life to Srila Prabhupada. We need people. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj is saying, no, this is dangerous, it's illegal, this is a problem, it gives our movement a bad reputation, how are we supposed to be kidnapping people, what is this, he can't join. So it was a dilemma. How it worked out, I just kept coming to the temple and joined later on anyway. But the thing that struck me was this instruction, really it was an instruction that he gave about the value of prasadam. He really, really valued prasadam more than anyone else maybe in the whole of ISKCON. He knew how to take prasadam. He really appreciated good prasadam, just as he knew what the temperature was in a room. He would call his cooks in and he would tell them everything that was in the prasadam, and he would also tell them how much of each spice was there, how much of each ingredient was there. He knew these things. So he was wonderful in this way. He had this facet as well. So many times I had so much experience with him. It's hard to really condense everything into just a few moments. One time, this was in maybe 1978, after he came back from India. This is just a few months only after Srila Prabhupada left this world. He was on the beach in Juhu, and he found a small deity of what he called in those days Gopinath, small silver Krishna deity, maybe this big only, small. And so he saw something glowing in the sand. He asked a disciple to go see what it was, and he came back with his deity. So he understood that Krishna has appeared. So they went back to his room, and they washed the deity very carefully for some 5 hours. They chanted Brahma Samhita. They did Abhishek. And he came to America with his deity. But once the Maharani of, I believe it was Udaipur, found out about this event, she being a life member, she volunteered to donate a small golden deity of Srimati Radharani to match. And she did that. So he came to the United States and he installed these deities on Radhashtami 1978. I had the good fortune actually to become the pujari of these two deities after that installation. And I traveled with him throughout the United States for some time. He had a mobile home for some time. He was traveling and preaching in universities, much as he did before with Radha Damodar Party. I was also on that party. So one day he was really, really being hard on me, as we've heard already. He could really be hard on you if he wanted to. And one day he was really just lashing into me all day long. And I was kind of looking for a floorboard to hide under for the rest of my life. And then I got the message that he wants to see you, and I thought, oh my God, here comes another one. So I went up into his room. This is maybe at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and he invited me in, and I paid my obeisances, and he said, Mukunda, I want to give you something. He handed me a small dish with sandesh, Mahaprasadam sandesh. He said, you offered this sandesh this morning. He said, oh, I just want to let you know. That if you take this sandesh that you offered at this morning at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Damodar, then you will transcend the influence of the material energy. You will become liberated in this lifetime and go back to Godhead. I've said many times that Tamala Krishna Goswami had a rough side that was very difficult for people to handle. In the 1970s, they used to call him hot tamale. Here we don't know what tamales are, but it's basically chilies, hot chilies. He was could be very hard. But he had this side as well. So like Hitopadesh, a true friend is this way, maybe very like a coconut, very harsh, rough, hard exterior, but inside is very soft and sweet. He was that way. And those who came a little bit close to him, they could appreciate this and derive so much benefit. I don't know that I've really done any service for this movement or even made any advancement, but I do know that if I have any Krishna consciousness in this life, it's mainly because of his influence, because I never got the association of Srila Prabhupada directly. Only once, two or three times maybe I saw him during his last visit to the United States. Whatever training I received was from Tamal Krishna Maharaj, but I don't suffer any lack of faith in that, because I know very well that Srila Prabhupada trained him very, very carefully, very personally, probably more than anyone else. I saw how he lived, and he followed exactly his schedule, was just the same thing as Srila Prabhupada did. So, as Maharaj said already, he was a Prabhupada man, the quintessential Prabhupada man. So I think my time is up. I may not be able to speak much longer also. But all glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Gurudev ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai.